Friday we prayed, those that came, I got here early Friday and I said, you know, Lord, what do you want us to pray? We've been praying all week. We've been hitting certain topics, certain subjects. What should we pray? And the Lord says, I want you to pray corporately, and I want you to pray for everyone that's here on that night, Friday night, that the obstruction and the hindrances that hold them back are broken so that they can excel and they can advance in who they are in God. Because it's not really the devil so much that holds us back, you know, because he can't hold us back. Demons can't hold you back. They can only hold you back when you buy into the lies they tell. And then indirectly, you end up holding yourself back. The enemy has a sense of who you are. He has a sense of your purpose. He doesn't know in detail. He didn't even know about Jesus, because the Bible says if he would have knew Jesus was the Son of God and would have resurrected with all power, he never would have crucified him. So the devil has a sense of who you are, but he doesn't know fully. And sometimes God doesn't reveal the whole package, because with that information changes the level of warfare. Here's an example. Joseph, the youngest son of Jacob, he comes and his father gives him a coat. He's got favor with his dad, and his dad gives him a coat of favor. And his brothers, the Bible says, I think by 37 chapter of Genesis, his brothers didn't have anything good to say about him. Then Joseph has a dream about him gathering more sheaves than his brothers, and them being more bountiful. And with that information, it changed the level of warfare that hit Joseph's life. Then his brothers hated him. Then he had another dream. Joseph should have kept some of them dreams to himself. That the stars were bowing to him. And at that level, his brother said, we got to kill him. And Benjamin interceded for him and stopped him from killing him. They sold him into slavery. So with the information, as the information and the revelation progressed, so did the warfare. So sometimes in our superhero attire, God keeps us clothed as Clark Kent, because he's hiding what he's doing on the inside of us. It's an inside work. The initial work is an inside work. The first work is an inside work. God says, I've searched the all Israel, and I've found a man who has a heart after me, not his height, not his age, not his family position. And on the inside of him, I've found someone. Go anoint him, because it starts on the inside. Tell somebody it starts on the inside. Just like a bamboo tree. A bamboo tree grows underground for 2 years, developing its root system. 2 years it's underground. You don't even see it. 2 years it's growing. 2 years it's getting its structure. 2 years it's getting its foundation. But when it breaks ground, it grows like, I think, about 2 feet a day. It just grows rapidly when it grows, or 12 inches a day, but it grows rapidly. This is growing. But it's been growing underground for 2 years. You've been growing underground. You've been growing underground. The things you went through, you've been growing underground. The heartache you went through, you were growing underground. Because in order for God to grow you tall, he must first grow you deep. Because you can't grow tall without being deep. The higher the high rise, the deeper the foundation. So you wonder, I just answered your question. Lord, why did I go through all these losses? Why did I have to deal with these people the way I did? Why did I get treated the way I did? The Lord says, I was developing you underground. Even where the enemy didn't know, he couldn't figure it out. He couldn't understand the hardship you experienced. It's because I was developing you underground. But you don't stay underground. You don't stay hidden. There comes a time, gen to gen, and gen to gen connected community, there comes a time where you break ground. And all the work that God's been doing, all of a sudden you begin to emerge. You begin to rise. You begin to show forth. You begin to step forward. Here's the challenge. It's so comfortable in the Clark Kent attire. It's so comfortable because you don't get the attention. It's so comfortable because you don't have to rescue anybody when you Clark Kent. It's so comfortable because you really don't have to give someone the truth when you Clark Kent. You just one in the crowd, one of many. There's no expectation of you when you got the suit on, when you got the Clark Kent attire on. There's no expectation. But when you show the S, I can imagine at the Daily Planet, the newspaper, that Clark Kent walked in, if he decided, you know, I'm going to wear my Superman attire today to work. I'm going to walk in with my cape and my S and my shoes, my red boots and all that, and sit down at the paper. All of a sudden, people would have saw him different. He wouldn't have been able to get his job done. They'd have said, listen, can you help me with this? Can you do this? Can you rescue this person? Can you help this? Because he was what? Exposed. Sometimes we just want to stay hidden because we don't want to step forward. We don't want that expectation. But I believe the prophetic word for those that hear this message is it's time for you to show the S. It's time for you to peel back the layers. The layers. The layers of what you've gone through, the layers of hurt, the layers of doubt, the layers of fear. It's just time to pull back the layers. Because you really don't fulfill your purpose in hiding. You fulfill your purpose exposed. You fulfill your purpose when you know who you are and you step in full confidence of who you are. You fulfill your purpose when you got, when you show the big S across your chest. That's when you do it. Now let me give you a couple of scriptures here. Amen. Daniel 11 and 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do what? Exploits. That's right. Acts 1 and 8. Daniel 11, 32 and Acts 1 and 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But know their God. Those that know their God will do what? Exploits. The prerequisite is to know your God. This is Daniel 11, to know your God, to be so familiar with your God, amen, that you've known him in the when things were dark, when things were uncertain, you have developed a relationship with God, amen, underground, that when you step to the surface, you know your God. You intimately know your God, not with somebody. That's why this is individual. And that's why we pray for individuals on Friday night, that your individual uniqueness, your individual anointing, your individual purpose, your individual gifts, because you are only as powerful as you let God use your uniqueness. As you know God, what you know about him, what you've experienced him, that's part of your superpower. That's part of it. We prayed Saturday morning about the marketplace, about wealth. And I said at the end of the prayer, I said, I know that God will bless people with a home. Because I experienced it. A man making a home affordable for a family that didn't have the money to buy it. Walking in there, telling other people no. And blessing us with the house. What can you pay? When last time you looked at a house and somebody said, what can you pay? And what can you put down? And you say, well, I can pay this and put down that. It's okay, you can have it. Amen. So I know that. So I know God. I know that he'll give you. I know he'll give people a home. I know he will. I know he will, because I've experienced. That's a level in which I know. Not something I read, not a testimony from someone else. I know that I know. How many got some things that you just know that you know that you know God will? Without a doubt. That's in your root system. That's in your experience. Amen. No one can take that from you. I know God will bless his people and prosper his people. Amen. A prosperity preacher. I ain't thinking about people. Prosperity is in the Bible. Yeah. The word prosper is in the Bible. I'm going to start talking about it more and more. Amen. It's a Bible word. Now, if it wasn't in the Bible, I'd say, okay, don't say prosperity. Well, it says it's in the Bible. So I'm going to say it. God wants to prosper his people. Amen. I know that I know that I know, because we've done the WIC, the Focus Hope, and we've got put out, got evicted, put our stuff on the curb. We've been through all that. How many boxes of King Vitamin can we get? We can get four, because it's 16 ounces, and they allow us 64 ounces of cereal. How much milk can you get? Well, we can get this dry milk, and we can get this other milk here. But this is a little over, because WIC only allows you so many ounces of milk, so you can only get so much. And we weren't on the low like people now. People got little fancy ATM cards and all that. Back then, you had to tear the book. Here's a 20. Let me get the $50. You right there up in line. You ain't got no cash. Or give me the other book. People looking at you. But I know that I know that I know. God will bring you away from that. God will prosper you beyond that. That's my S. That's my S. What's your S? Your ass may be healing. It may be deliverance. It may be prosperity. It may be prayer. What is your ass? It's time to show your ass. Come on, tell somebody it's time to show your ass. It's time to show your ass. It's time to show your ass. Now, some of y'all that just got saved. Some of y'all just got saved. You said, show what? What is he saying? I'm talking about your superpower. I'm talking about the power of the Spirit of God. That's your S. Oh, God. You know, I get tired of people. So I got to pray for Pastor. What was he saying? What was the pastor saying? You know, it kind of, you know, an argument that I hear, or a discussion I hear, about the church. And people are quick to say, there used to be more healings in the church. Where did the miracles go? We used to have more in the church. I'm like, aren't you in the church? Aren't you part of the church? Where's your ass? If it ain't enough healers in the church, how many people you don't lay hands on? If it ain't enough miracles in the church, who you praying for? Where's your anointing? Where's your ass? You Clark Kenton in the church. You don't show no power. You don't show you got to come in, pray you here. Come on, you got certain Sundays you come and you want to criticize the church. Step forward with your ass. Bring some people that need healing. Bring some people that need deliverance. Bring your ass up in the church.
This group over here, they done have some of that coffee over there.
Bring it in the church. Bring it in the church. Bring your spirit up in the church. Bring the supernatural up in the church. Bring the Spirit of God with you in the church. It's time for us to reveal. It's time for us to be revealed. It's time for us to, here's another S word, to show up. It's time to show up. Come out of hiding and show up.
Well, you don't know how they treated me. I've been so abused in the church. And I just need a 10-year break. Because I'm just tired. And church people get on my nerves, and I'm just so tired. So I'm going to put this Clark Kent suit on. And I'm not going to reveal my gifts because a pastor may ask me to use them. And so I'm just gonna lay in a cut. I'm not gonna really show who I am. Now I'm gonna see how everything could be done better. And I'm gonna tell people how things could be done better. But I'm not gonna show my ass. I'm gonna lay. That's what I'm gonna do. I mean, I'm all for periods of healing. But if Jesus can take people who know nothing the gospel, nothing about Holy Spirit, nothing about the power of God, 400 years before Jesus shows on the scene is silent, nothing about deliverance, and in 3 years, the king asked the apostles, I think it was Paul, maybe another apostle, he said, when they brought the apostles for him, he said, are these the guys that's turning the world upside down? He took them from fishermen and doctors and tax collectors to turning their whole region upside down by the power of God. What are we doing with our S? What are we doing with our S? That's it. That's right, Pastor Willie. Under a bushel. Under a bushel. I looked that up last night, as a matter of fact, a bushel. That's how they carry fruit and things like that. And then when Jesus said, you know, don't put your light on the bushel, he's actually talking about lighting a candle and taking that bushel that's carried and putting it over the light. Hiding. Because hiding is convenient. There is, let me tell you, there is some peace in hiding. Because expectation is gone. Amen. People don't call on you. Say, I need a word. Can you pray with me? Can you pray for the sickness? Can you pray? Can you do this? There is, but that's not the call of God. And you're needed in the kingdom because what God has given you is so unique and so powerful that you bring fruit for the kingdom and you help advance the kingdom in the anointing and grace upon your life. So if you hide, there is a region, there is a people that's not touched. Evangelist Cheryl led the prayer yesterday around the school. About 9 people, I think, came out. Amen. And I'm going to say the city online or anything, but when they were praying, the deputy superintendent came and saw them pray. The deputy superintendent. And you know what they said? They said, I'll get you a school bus. No, bring it. Just leave it like it was. I'll get you a school bus so you can go inside and pray for each classroom. Amen. Amen. That's dominion. Amen. In other words, you ain't got to drive your cars. I'm going to get y'all shuttled. I'm going to get y'all to the, so that y'all can go. You've prayed outside. So what you did? What did you do? You showed your S, your superpower. You came out and you exposed and you were bold enough to do this. And if you're bold enough to do it on this level, look what God did in a meeting. I remember when the Whitfields went out and they met someone, a superintendent or someone of authority, and you showed it on a certain level. And now what am I going to do? I'm going to open up the door through the inside of the school. And see, we so worried about what happens sometimes in four walls and who gets to prophesy, who get to preach. They get to preach twice. I only preach once, you know, and all that mess. Or we so comfortable that I really don't want to do nothing. I don't want any demands. I don't want to prophesy. I don't want to lead in prayer. What I don't want to do. We get in those two extremes that if we realize that just by stepping out, doing what we know to do, that which we know, how God can bless it and expand it. Amen. Now a whole district is open to us. Amen. 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 Come on, tell somebody, show your ass. Peel back the layers. Peel back the layers. Peel back the layers. Peel back the layers of excuses. Peel back the layer of hurt. Get over the hurt, get over the hurt. I believe, I want, when I was looking at this, I want Gen to Gen to be a church that can take a person who knows nothing about church and in 3 years have them fully launched into ministry. That's the motto of Jesus. 3 years, not 20 years. By the time you start your ministry, you're over Social Security. You know what I'm saying? You pray God prolong your strength. You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on. You know, if you jump up and down, you might pull something. I mean, we have healthy people here. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying, let me get it right. I'm not saying that you started what age you are. But I'm saying don't delay yourself so long. Amen. I listed the 3 kings in 2 Chronicles that brought reformation to Judah last night. Asa, Josiah, and Hezekiah. Josiah was 8 years old. 8 years old. Hezekiah, I think he started at 25. King. And brought reformation and revival to Judah. Turned their hearts. They emerge and if you're gonna show, yes, you know, you emerge and you bring reformation when people don't agree and people don't see it, but you're bold enough to say something, teach something, declare something, pray something, and nobody else is praying. You'll go against culture. You'll go against what people accept as this is just the way it is. You know why? Because when you are a superhero in the spirit, amen, you shift culture and you shift mindsets because of the power of God on the inside of you. Amen. Amen. Let me get into this text, cities. Let me give you some definitions. Lord God, y'all should have put the timer up. All right. Hallelujah. Those that know their God shall be strong. Let me give you the Hebrew word here for strong. I'm just going to read this to you, and you can make note of some of these definitions. To be strong, to grow strong, to prevail upon, to be firm, be caught fast, be secure, to press, be urgent, to grow, to be stout, to grow rigid, to grow hard, to be severe, to strengthen, to make strong, to restore to strength, to give strength. When those that know their God shall be strong, shall make strong, shall make firm, shall make rigid, shall make hard. Say, I'm hard. To display strength, to repair, to prevail. Things come against our life, we prevail. Prevail upon, to have, to take, to keep, to hold, to retain, to strengthen oneself, to put forth strength, use one's strength. You're not weak, you're strong. Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Strong in prayer. Strong in healing. Strong in the prophetic. Next week is leadership meeting Sunday. We're going to start the meeting with prophetic activations. I said, we're going to get these leaders prophesying. We ain't going to just meet. We're going to prophesy. Amen. We're going to stir it up in here. Amen. Where we ain't got to wait for you to give a word. We got to sit some of you down because there's too many giving words. We're going to stir up the gifts. I shouldn't have let that out the bag. Y'all still got a cup. I was like, oh, Lord.
Let me put my suit back on. Let me put this Clark Kent suit back on. Oh, Lord.
Strong in the voice of the Lord. Strong in the word of God. Strong in evangelism. Strong in witnessing. Firm in power. Solid in confidence. Those that know their God shall be strong. What about and do exploits? I didn't see this till after I came up with the subject. You know what the exploit is? It's a heroic deed. And I didn't know that when I looked at it. It's a heroic deed. Shall do exploits. Shall be heroic. Shall be a hero. Hero in the kingdom, a hero for God, a champion for the gospel. Those that know their God shall be firm and heroic. Not a wimp, not a punk in the spirit, but heroic. People don't come into the church with their knees, their brokenness to look up and see some more broke. Everybody broken in that church. My God, everybody got trauma. Everybody stuck. Everybody crying. Everybody depressed. Everybody bipolar. Can somebody have some deliverance? So how I'm going to get some deliverance if everybody in here bound? Everybody in here offended. Nobody forgives. Nobody loves. We need some heroes in the church for Jesus. We need heroes for Jesus. You mean God wants me to be a hero? Look at Hebrews 11 chapter. When God championed the Abraham and Noah and all those guys, yeah, God looking for some heroes. People in the world need some heroes. You don't point to yourself, you point to Jesus, but God's got to put fame on your name so that you have influence with people so you can point them to Jesus. Jesus, God is looking for heroes. They shall do exploits. Don't you know you pray for somebody? Amen. They get healed. They'll go tell somebody else. All of a sudden, your name spreads. You become a hero in the kingdom. Shall do exploits. Heroic. Say, I'm heroic. I'm a hero. Tell somebody you're looking at a hero, man. You just ain't seen my ass. You ever see? I'm gonna show you my. You ain't seen? I'm gonna show you where the glory of God is on my life. People come to church for it. You come to church to be told you're a hero. You come to church to say you've been strong. You're strong in the Lord. You can do this through faith in Jesus Christ. A hero. Acts 1 and 8. Now we'll break a couple words down here. And Tony, you can play as we come in for a landing. Acts 1 and 8. Earlier, Jesus said, you're going to be endowed with power. You're going to be infused with power. You're going to be filled with power. You're going to receive this after the Holy Spirit comes on you. Acts 1 and 8 saying, you're going to be my witness. And here's the power. The word power is dunamis. You'll receive power. What is that? Strength. Here's strength again. Power, ability. Strength, power, ability. Inherent power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. Power for performing miracles. That's the definition of dunamis. You're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you. Power for performing miracles. Somebody say power, power for performing miracles. You're going to receive this after the Holy Spirit comes on you. Power. I'm stuck there. And sometimes we just need to repent because we've kept all this power clothed in excuses. It's moral power. In other words, it's power over sin, power over addiction. It's excellence of soul. It's the power and influence which belongs to riches and wealth. That power you get. It's power and resources. Power consisting in and resting upon armies, forces, and hosts. Jesus said, sit in the upper room. I'm going to endow you with power. Everybody in that upper room knew something about Jesus. Some had heard about a healing. Some had heard about a deliverance. Some had experienced healing. And they gathered together and they waited on this power. The very people, some of the very people who denied Christ and locked themselves up in a room when he was crucified. Because they thought they were next. The very people that Jesus had to rebuke and correct. Because they said things out of turn. And out of fear. They gathered in this room for a transformative act. Something that would change their life forever. They stood in this room and sat in this room to be endowed from what was being taught and laid in their root system, to be infused with power so they could peel back like Peter. He was quick to talk and impulsive. He denied Jesus. But the power was about to come. Peter was about to show his ass. His ass was about to be seen. He was about to do miracles and heal people by his shadow. When the power comes, it's a prerequisite. The prerequisite. Jesus said, go to the upper room until you're perfect. He didn't say that. Go into the upper room until you do 12 years of a seminary. He didn't say that. He had laid the foundation in the root system. They knew Jesus. They saw what he did. Now he's about to cement their experience with the power.
when that power comes, then Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses. The word witness is a legal term because in the Old Testament, remember this Old Testament times, the church is launched after the experience of the Holy Spirit. But he said, you're going to be my witnesses. In Old Testament time, if someone disagreed, you bring 2 to 3 witnesses, let every word be established. So Jesus said, when this power comes, when this power comes, say, you're going to be my living proof of who I am. You're going to be a walking example that I am the Messiah. You're going to be my witnesses. You're going to be my witnesses. People are going to know because they're going to see you. And they're going to witness. You're going to be a witness. You're going to be an example. It's a legal sense. It comes from the term witness, which means knowledge or understanding. It also means that you're going to bear the testimony, to bear it, to carry it. You're going to be my witnesses when the power comes. How many people we have in this room full of the Holy Spirit? You're witnesses. You are not witnesses in the Clark Kent suit. You're lit witnesses when you pull back the layers. Step forward into your purpose. Step forward into truth. Step forward in what God has for you. Step forward and begin to step in, even in your family. You know what the S stands for also? It's the supernatural you. It's the supernatural you. You don't worry when everybody else is worried. You ain't afraid when everybody's afraid. When everybody thinks it's about to be over, you still out here buying land, property, witnessing to people, setting up generational plans. It's the supernatural you. It's the supernatural you. It's like the like Daniel friends, they get to, about to get thrown into the fiery furnace. And they say, oh, king, live forever. Listen, man. We ain't, you know, you can throw us in there. And we know our God will deliver us. And even if he doesn't, we still ain't bowing. That's right. So if we burn, we ain't going to bow. And if we come out this fire, we ain't going to bow. You see the S on our chest? We ain't bowing. That's what you ought to tell the devil sometime. When he come at you with foolishness, you ought to say, devil, you see the S on my chest? I ain't giving in to fear. You see the S on my chest? I ain't giving in to doubt. You ought to tell the devil that. You see the S on my chest. Power to be witnesses. You are the authentication of Jesus in the earth. You are an ambassador of the kingdom. You are God's word in the earth. You gotta show the S. Let's stand.